So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. This week, another special guest. We have Sylvie Manser, who's the executive director of the Banff Avenue Community House. I think I got that right. I'll let her kind of get into more of what she does on a day-to-day basis. I've been involved with this organization for almost a year now, and it's been very eye-opening. And we'll get into some of the issues that we unearth as some of the work that happens here. But welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Eric.
I know you've been involved in this sector for a few years. We won't mention how many. It's okay. Tell us how you got started and why this sector for you.
I got started by just participating in programs and service in a low-income community. So there was an opportunity for me to go on a trip as a community trip. I was a young girl, and I decided I would try this community trip and had a really good time. And they applied for a grant, and they were looking to hire students. At the time, I was 15, and I got a job as a summer student here at the community house, and I've been here ever since.
And what made you want to get involved with a community or a community house or something in this realm?
Well, we talk a little bit about wellness, and I have to say, being a part of a community is the best wellness plan you can have. And the reason why is because when you have that sense of belonging, you know your neighbors, you connect, you share common issues, it brings people together. And when you bring people together, you can do a lot for somebody. So to me, it is about that. It's about being connected with others. And I just wanted to be more a part of that.
Yeah. How do you define community? And I think you're right. And I think more and more research shows that having community, however you define it, is huge part of wellness. And before we start recording, I was telling you about how wellness really has exploded over the last couple of years, but it's really changed. Before, it used to be, okay, you have to have big muscles and you have to, you know, that's how we would define wellness. You have big muscles or you're skinny, then you're well. And now we know that there's so many other factors that you can't see from just looking at someone. How would you define community?
I think community is a place where you belong. Community could be small as a neighborhood. It could be as small as a neighborhood block, or it can be as big as a city. So it depends your view. For us, we are looking at a neighborhood-based community area. And so for us, 118 units in one area is considered our community.
Yeah. I'm familiar with a little bit with the stats, having been to a few meetings and being part of this. But what would a community house or a community, like an affordable housing community like this, represent for someone looking from the outside?
Well, I'd say it looks like it's offering social service programs to support families at where they're at in life. And so being in a social housing neighborhood, people are sometimes challenged with financial means, stereotyping them as a family, challenges with education. Sometimes parents are new Canadians and are illiterate and don't have the guidance that way. What else could I say? Employment issues as well. There is a majority of people working part-time, but there is a lot of families that parents are not able to work due to disabilities or social assistance. What was the question again, though?
What is community, and what does this community represent from the outside looking? Because a lot of people, I mean, there is stigma about social housing. But from what I've seen, there's good people and bad people everywhere, whether it's a very affluent neighborhood versus a social housing neighborhood. But so what do you think makes this community special for you? You've been here for a few years and you keep coming back for some reason. So
I think the big part is people connecting together. So like if you have families that have a commonality, they'll work more together to solve those issues. So if you were looking in what is a community like this and what does it have to offer, I think it has a safe place where people can gather and can get the supports they need, get link them up to the various services. We don't try to be at all. We try to link people a lot, bridge services. We really believe in the wraparound services as well. And what that means specifically is, let's say children are in our programs and they're in there for homework club. Well, they're not there just for homework club. They're there to get snacks. They're there to get connected. They're there to have recreation opportunities. They're there to get scholarship opportunities as they're growing up. And then as they age, they become teenagers and there's opportunities for employment. So we hire a lot of youth for the first time here in their first job, similar to what I had. And
come around full circle.
Totally. And you really see how this can sometimes change people, because it gives them an opportunity to grow into a position, learn what it's like to be working and the responsibilities around that. And then many times we'll see these youth, as they get older, will come back and volunteer years later. I have a lot of success stories like that, where they've had their first jobs here and they've come back later on and they're now very successful and they want to help out the community. And sometimes they do that financially, sometimes they do that with their time. Sometimes they do it with connections, being ambassadors and talking to our youth and talking to our children about the opportunities that are out there, and don't stay stuck, because some people do get stuck because of the stigma that follows them coming from social housing. So I think it's all about opportunities, and you're right, it does go full circle.
Before we get into all the opportunities and stuff, and I really want to concentrate on that, but I just want to touch upon kind of the elephant in the room. A lot of people do have strong, they have to fight strong stereotypes when they're out in the real world because they come from social housing. What do you think the biggest thing they have to fight when they get out there? And like, is it lack of skills? Is it lack of opportunities? Lack of funding? Lack of food? Well, what are the people in the community fight on a day-to-day basis?
I think all of those things. I think many residents are challenged with making ends meet. But I think the biggest challenge is when they do get out there is not having the stigma attached to them that, oh, you're from a low-income community, so that means you're affiliated with gang, criminal activity, a lot of ignorance there. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is when they get out there, I'm hoping that they're not plagued with that, that it doesn't carry them throughout their lives. Because when you apply for a job and you have the name of Ledbury on your application, chances are you're not going to get hired, because people have this perception that you're from a low-income community and this is what to expect from you.
And the thing is, the phone never stops ringing here. It's such a such a hub of activity. Growing up, like, there are always kind of those bad neighborhoods. But what makes those neighborhoods bad neighborhoods?
A few handful of people, just like anywhere else in the city of Ottawa. So if you look at the demographics, it's sometimes there's a handful of people that do get involved in criminal activity. They don't have to live in social housing to be involved in criminal activity. But it does come down to what's happening in the news and what is being put out there. And then people will, again, hear the sad stories or the unfortunate events and then link it to everybody. And that's a problem. Because that's not the reality. There is a lot of very capable people in the neighborhood. I find I feel very safe. Although there is criminal activity that happens, I feel very safe in this neighborhood. And the reason why is because it's a sense of community. People are looking out for each other. It's like an extended family. There is people looking out for other people's children. There's always stuff to do. There's always opportunity to get together and address these social issues.
And there's, you talked about some, a few bad apples that kind of ruin the whole bunch. And I think there's like that everywhere. Like there's bad doctors, there's bad, you know, executive directors, there's all kinds of stuff. But you're right, like it is, you are fighting. And even I've been looking at some documentaries. I look at this happening, especially in the States where it's systematic. And I think we'd like to think in Canada we have a little bit more of hope and avenues to get out. But there's like the prison system, especially if you're from a minority, it's kind of geared towards you. And it's kind of sad. But the good thing is, I think you places like this is giving a lot of opportunities to youth. So what kind of opportunities do you provide for some of the youth that are coming through these doors? And how many folks do you have, like a number of visits per year here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the area, so there's 508 people that live in this area, and that's a rough number. Yeah. Out of those, we had 422 unique people attend the community house in some way. So that could be coming in just to link up to a food service, or it could be utilizing our computers. So we do have that connection with the community.
That's a pretty high percentage. That's over 80%.
We're pretty happy with it. And I think the reason why is because we're place-based. We're right here in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're a house. We're a community house. Yeah. We make it like a home as well. It's really important that people feel welcome. I think what you said about the opportunities is where it's at. You give people opportunities to do well, and people most likely do well. But if you don't have those opportunities, then they're more likely to choose their own path. And there is influences, negative influences around. So I think our role at the community house is to make sure that we are providing supports, we're providing linkage, and we're providing opportunities. So some of the opportunities that we offer, I mean, they start right from when children are really young. So moms that are pregnant, we don't do it all. Again, we link up services. So Southeast Ottawa Community Health Center is a strong partner with us. We'll link in and provide nursing, dietitians to come into the community house, weighing babies, getting them off to a good start. And then we go right up to making sure that mom's at home, that they're coming out to our play group programs. Again, building sense of community, getting connected, doing workshops within those without calling them workshops. We're very informal. Yeah. We keep it that way.
We don't like workshops. But people like to hang out and learn something.
That's right. Yeah. So it's amazing what you can do when you break bread together. Yeah. And that's what we do in all of our programs. We make sure those are the level of food that's brought to the table, so everybody can kind of just sit, relax, and go through what needs to be done. And it's very informal, but it's a great way to, again, provide opportunities to those moms that they may not know what's out there. Out of that, you can link people up to childcare, schooling system, First Words. So there's lots of, again, bridging of services. And then we go right into the children's programming. We have a lot of children in the area, so it's a big focus for us. We make sure that there's something for kids to do every day after school. Emphasis is a lot on education, literacy, because we know that stats show it. If you do well in school and you have a good attitude towards school, that's going to help you. So we make sure that our programs are really geared to that. We provide one-on-one tutoring. We provide unique ways of learning. So no longer is there a lot of homework. So we now incorporate Make It Club, which is like STEM activities, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Yeah. So STEAM, actually. Yeah. We added in the arts because we really feel it's really important to express yourself in many ways. And that's been amazing. So kids come, we're going to go build a go-kart here and see how it goes. That's where it's at for them. But really, they're learning the stages of how something happens and how do you get from one area to another. So they're learning the science behind it. So again, that's just in our programs that way. And then we're linking them up to opportunities outside the community. Because again, if you have barriers to accessing services because you don't have transportation, or mom has four other young children at home and she's going to school to learn English, it's really challenging for her to get connected out there. So this is where we come in, and we really try to provide recreation services outside the area as well. So through martial arts programs or Animate Ottawa will come and do workshops and get people connected there. We like to really make sure people have exposure to a variety of things, just like you and I would.
Yeah.
It's really important that people have that opportunity to try new things, because they may find that that's something that really drives them, and we want people to have that excitement. And so we start that with children, and then we get right into the youth, and youth are our tomorrow, right? It's all about our youth.
Yep.
So employment is a big one, because youth are have a lot of challenges and they are at risk. So it's really important that we get them involved in clubs, and we call them clubs, like boys club, girls club. So they have, again, that belonging that they long for, because our studies have showed that if they're involved in a positive club, they're less likely to be involved in a gang, because they are the same, except one is criminal-based and the other one is positive-based.
Yeah.
And they really strive on that. And so with that, in those programs, we don't just, oh, let's just hang out and have fun. It's an opportunity to do some real learning in that program. So we do stuff on women's issues, men issues, violence against men, violence against women. So we do a lot of, again, incorporating workshops very informally. We have guest speakers come in and do literacy planning, and because we go right from ages 10 to 18, and we find that we separate them, and we get people coming out committing to that. It's because it provides that connection to successful people, connections to opportunities for employment. And so that's been something that's been very successful. We hire about 15 youth every year. Their first job. It's usually their first job. We do that in partnership again with Youth Services Bureau, and they work in the summer, and now there's opportunities for them to work all year round if they're not in school. We're really encouraging youth to stay in school, because the dropout rates in Southeast Ottawa are high, extremely high. But the reality of it is some youth are just not going to stay in school. And so what do we do with those youth? And that's where, again, the opportunities are present for people to link up to, what are we going to do with those vulnerable youth? How can we serve them better? And so we can always continue to be doing a better job of that, because there is a gap there. And then when they get into adulthood, then what are we doing as they're getting older? We're making sure that they have the supports in place again. They have the literacy, financial literacy for budgeting, healthy eating, healthy exercise, making sure we have fitness programs on site as well to incorporate the healthy component to those, like you said, yeah. Getting fit and yeah. Getting in shape and eating healthy. I think they all go hand in hand.
So you're basically like an after-school special. You're like the Oprah, the good versus bad, and but it's nice to have that opportunity, because a lot of people have that, but to actually provide that opportunity for just about everyone. Who makes up most of your communities? And I'm assuming this is a microcosm for other communities that are similar. So is it a lot of new Canadians? Obviously, it's a lot of low income. I mean, or else they wouldn't really be here.
That's right.
But is there who makes up these communities?
Well, it's pretty diverse. So yeah. I'd say a lot of newcomers, if I was going to say a culture, I'd say Middle Eastern, African. I think that's predominantly the makeup right now, but that changes, because the communities are transient.
Yeah.
So in 1992, we had a large influx of Somali culture that came in. So it really changed how we did things at the community house. Our programs were really based for our clientele. So it changes depending on who comes into our community.
And are you, do you do any culture-specific activities? Or
we try not to. We try to make it, I guess, inclusive for all. Okay. So we provide education and cultural awareness in a lot of activities, especially in events. We'll do cultural events and Eid parties and Christmas parties. We reincorporate both, all the cultures as much as we can in what we do. Yeah.
Speaking of events, I've been involved in some of the events, but what's been some really cool events that you've seen over the years?
There's been quite a bit.
Yeah. Just give us an example of like what can happen in a community where you kind of put people together.
I think one of the biggest events that I'm proud of to be a part of is when the tenants get together and they identify what kind of activities they want to do. And it usually stems from an issue happening in the community. So let's say there's an issue around racism. And it's an opportunity for these families to get together here at the community house and to come up with, what can we do about this? And rather than talk at people, let's get people involved. So this is the how the cultural festival started. And it was a great opportunity to be able to just bring all kinds of cultures together in this community. And how we did that is we hired people from the neighborhood to cook a cultural meal. So we had over 35 cooks. Wow. And it was a big dinner. And we had bouncy castles. We had activities going on, carnival games going on. It was huge. Great amount of volunteers through our partners that would come in and be servers for the day. We had the Sens Foundation come in and bring in their equipment as well. So there was a lot for the whole family. So it didn't matter what culture you were. You got to come out and have a good time. And again, bringing people together with food was where we got the most out, people coming out, is because there was lots of opportunities to share in the food and then people talk about it. Oh, this is a cultural dish. This is from my background. This is what we made back home. It gave those opportunities to have those dialogues. And I found that it really brought people together. And they're well attended. We had around 300 residents that came out for the day.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And what season was this in?
Summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like the streets are, you block off the streets, it's almost like a street party or what?
Yeah, it's in the park.
Okay.
So it takes over the whole park.
Yeah.
It's a very time intensive planning event. So it does take a lot of resources and time. But it's been probably the most effective way to break down some of those racial tension within the neighborhood.
So speaking of racial tension, it's not always about puppy dogs and unicorns. You probably have some, there's been some bad stuff that's happened in this neighborhood. Can you share some experiences that you had and all the, obviously also some good stuff and some success stories where you've seen kids that probably like yourself that started this working in a house like this and now are moving on and doing bigger and better things and credit this house or this community for making them who they are?
I think that some of the yucky stuff, I call it yucky stuff, that I don't like to refer to as much, but there is yucky stuff that happens. I think the biggest thing was, I guess back in 2004, one of the biggest things that changed was the name of Ledbury Banff Crips was put forward. And when that was given a label, I witnessed what that did. And what that did is it glorified these gangs. And so now youth that were like 12, 13 were feeling pretty empowered to be a part of a gang. And so that was, to me, very unfortunate because I saw it like kind of happening right in the neighborhood and then them becoming gang members. And I know like three of them have died in the last couple of years due to gang activity. They're no longer in the neighborhood. They haven't been in the neighborhood for a long time. But I got to witness that, and that wasn't something very...
very fun.
No, not at all. So that, to me, realized to me that, you know what, we can't glorify these gangs. We can't give them the label that they want, because that's what they want. We can't give them the attention about the tagging. We needed to take it down. So the community fought back and fought back hard and said, you know what, we're not like that. There's more to this community than this handful of bad apples. But for me, it was a little bit more of, okay, we need to be doing a little bit more to glorify the other way. And so we really made it a mission.
The good apples.
The good apples. Yeah. And then to celebrate that. Yeah. And so we really made a point to do a lot of celebrating and involving the media in that, just to turn that around, because there was so much good that was happening. So something that was yucky, we took it, we learned from it, and we continue to learn from it. And that's what we'll do.
And can you share a couple of examples? It doesn't have to be names, but like some kids that you've seen growing up here, you know, you saw them when they're 3 years old and now they're 23 years old and they're at Yale or Harvard or, you know, like some of those. Can you share some of those stories?
Yeah. So I get the liberty of meeting people years later. So they come back and it makes me feel quite old. But and there, a lot of times people will come back and tell me the impact that their neighbor had on them or the community had on them or an event. And you think, well, it's just an event. But no, it gives people something. It gives people hope. Again, that's the wellness we're talking about. It gives people sometimes the motivation to want to do something. So one particular story kind of stuck out to me was a community member was involved in our programs, loved basketball, very, very much loved basketball. But because he was from a Somali culture, his mother, who was a single mom, really struggled with letting him go off at night to play basketball because it was outside the neighborhood, and really, really struggled with that. But through coaxing and having a staff at the community house kind of go with them, assured that, you know, we'll bring them back at the same time, I'll bring them to your door, give that youth an opportunity to play basketball. Well, out of that, he got to meet people. He was bullied a lot. He didn't fit in. He didn't play basketball all that great at the beginning. Now that's totally different. And he just came into his own and went off to university. And he actually came back to work for us. So he seconded here through another organization. And guess what he's leading?
The basketball team, basketball. Or a basketball club.
That's right. Yeah. And again, because he knows, he's been there, and he understands the cultural side of it too. Because that's important, that you understand it and you work with it to make it work for the child as well. So,
very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is coming full circle.
Yeah, and I do hear a lot of that.
Yeah, and that's the one nice thing about being here for a few years. Mm-hmm. You get to, I mean, I'm sure there's a couple bad apples, but you also get to hear about the good apples that have gone on to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I find the staff that we like to hire from within the community, and I find them to be some of the strongest staff to lead programs, to be mentors for the children, because they get it. So we have a very high success rate when we hire from within the community.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's because they care, they understand it, they have the same challenges perhaps, and they knew what opportunities help guide them as well.
They can relate to what's happening.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's funny because when you don't know, it's hard to sometimes to really make that connection. Mm-hmm. But you're right, like if you can relate to a lot of the challenges, you know, the people, I think that does make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's keeping you here after all these years?
What's keeping me here? I guess seeing the changes that happen. Because I do see great impact. I see children growing up. I see what they're doing. I see people moving. I see people reconnecting just to share their stories. Yeah. To me, that's what it's all about, is that if I can impact a child's life, a family's life in any way, then I'm doing what I am meant to do.
Very nice. I mean, what I've seen is that this Community House has really become a hub for the community. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've only met probably a handful or a couple handfuls of people in the community, but it seems like there's a lot of cool stuff happening here. So it's so kudos for that. Before we end this, because I know you're a busy lady and you've got the house to take care of and everything that comes with it, is I'm going to ask a question I've got to ask all the guests. And what does wellness mean to you?
What does wellness mean to me?
Yeah.
It means coping with what is given to you and making it as healthy as you can by having good mental health, good physical health, good interactions and connections, and all those good feelings. I think that's what makes people healthy.
Okay.
Now, did I pass?
The jury's still out.
It's, oh no!
No, but it's fun. It's fun to hear all the asking the same question a bunch of different people, and everyone comes at it from a different angle. So it's nice to hear that. Thank you very much for your time and your wisdom. And where can people find out more about the house and all that you folks do?
We have a website, yeah. So www.banffcommunityhouse.com.
Okay.
Or Google, yeah. Banff Ledbury. Yeah. You'll hear some good stories and some bad stories.
Okay.
But yeah, we're always looking for people for time, energy, resources, anything that they want us to get involved with. We encourage that.
And I'll link through all that in the show notes, because I know you're also active on Twitter and doing stuff. And then there's other community houses in the city, and then I'm sure there's other community houses, other communities across Canada and the rest of the world. So
we have 15 community houses in the city of Ottawa. Yes, it's the Ottawa Coalition of Community Houses. There's a website as well.
Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks for sharing all that stuff, the good, bad, and the ugly. And you've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.